It's interesting, the topic we're talking about, we often avoid. Sometimes now we have to talk about it because it's in the scriptures. But death, it's a bit scary. Tends to be, especially if we're not thinking rightly. I'm thinking about a man who died real young, 24 years old. So his name will probably pop into many of your minds, you older generation. He was 24 years old when he died. He was up and coming, massive star he was becoming, and he had incredible talent. I was reading up on him, and he would come to the scene to act at the very last minute, or even a little late. And then they would do the scene, and he, boom, hit it first time. And people were just astounded at his talent and his skill. He was just very laid back. I'm talking about James Dean. He died at 24 years old. Very, very sad. Very sad. And in the same way how he died very young, just out of nowhere, car accident. Thank you, Jude. So we too are going to die probably without any big plannings or preparations from our perspective. Well, I plan on dying this day, or I'm thinking I'm going to die this day. Well, we're probably not going to know when that's going to happen. But I want you to know what is going to happen when you die as a Christian. And I want you to know from the scriptures, of course, how we can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ at our deaths, in our deaths, through our deaths. Because we're told that right here. To back up a little bit in context, Paul's in jail in Rome, commentators have concluded, and this is at the end of the book of Acts when he's there in house arrest. He's getting visitors, and he's overjoyed to share with the Philippian church, which he planted by God's grace, and through Lydia and then through the woman and the jailer and such. And God is now using him to thank them and to give them some charges and encouragements. Not many rebukes, just a couple. He's pretty gentle with them. They were a pretty faithful church. But Paul's in jail, and he just shows his gratitude for them, and he encourages them that God's going to continue that good work he started. He encourages them that God is using Paul, even through his imprisonment, to make the gospel known throughout the whole palace guard. And he's even using Paul's imprisonment to encourage other believers to be courageous, like Paul was. Right? Courage inspires courage. And then Paul talks about how some are preaching Christ out of false, wrong motives, right? Because he's in jail and they just want to stir up trouble for him. But others out of right motives. But then he says, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. And now we come into our context. Philippians 1:19. Please, have your Bibles, guys. Paul says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Paul's going to be delivered. He believes that. He knows that. And it's through their prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I want to find out what he means. And I want to find out what true deliverance is. Pray with me as we go into this deep text, would you? Oh God, We cannot receive right understanding and a change of heart, but by your Spirit through your truth. So help us, God, understand your word rightly and change us into Christ's image. Empower us, God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul knows he's going to be delivered. What does he mean by that? Let's look at the text. Philippians 1, now we're on verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. Whether by life or by death. Paul's salvation that he's expecting to happen is going to be to glorify Christ with courage through his body. Whether by life or by death. So I want to dig into that a little bit. I want to dig into, first, for a believer to glorify Christ in and through his death, he needs to start and continue to glorify Christ now in their life. No matter how hard you're going through, what hard things you're going through, what difficult things, sickness, temptations, struggles, God wants you to glorify Jesus Christ in your life. And some of you have been through some mighty struggles, some mighty trials, even near-death experiences. And I trust by God's grace you glorified Christ. I want you to praise the Lord. Keep it up for his fame and name. Your labor is not in vain, saints. How are we going to do that in this life in such hard circumstances? Well, just to remind all of us, John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you're going to glorify God in your life, you have to focus on and honor and glorify Jesus Christ. The glory of God is seen through the face of Jesus Christ. Intimacy with Christ is our key to our relationship with God the Father, and it's the Spirit who is bringing that anyway, for the full glory of the Godhead. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, there it is again, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ has to be your life now. You say, well, hold on, Jimbo. You don't want to be so heavenly-minded, Jesus-minded, that you're no earthly good. Have you heard that before? Well, I don't believe there's such thing, especially from a biblical standpoint, guys. That certainly is a worldly truth, or they think is truth, a worldly concept, a worldly saying, but it has nothing to do with the Scriptures. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He says, don't set your mind on earthly things. You say, well, how can I do my work on my computer at work and meditate and worship Jesus? Well, I would say, how could you do it rightly without, in some sense, having a prayer to Jesus and continuing to have one track of thought of your mind on the Lord, if he'll give the grace to do that? We We have to fight with our minds, dear saints, to live for Christ so that we can be prepared when that day of death comes. Because if you're not living for Christ and His glory in your life, all of a sudden, are we going to expect things are going to switch when we go to die? It just doesn't work like that. I asked one of my shepherds at Grace Community Church under MacArthur out there in California when I was just a couple years into the faith. Said, I want to be this someday, a missionary and do this and that. And he says, well, he says, do you really believe God is calling you to that? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, then you should be doing it now. I said, what? He said, well, you should be doing the things a missionary does now. Evangelizes, work in discipleship, teaching Bible studies. And I said, oh, that's a good idea. Don't you love those thank you, Captain Obvious moments?
Help us, Lord.
So, Paul says that his deliverance is coming through glorifying Christ in his body, whether by life or by death. So we too need to glorify Christ in and through our bodies, obviously with our souls and our bodies, whether by life or by death. And then he says this, for me to live is Christ. Wow. For me to live is Christ. This is between you and the Lord. I want to encourage you to think through that. Is that true for you? Is it true for you that to live is Christ? Because it should be for every Christian. A biblical example of this is in Acts chapter 6. Stephen, it says he's a man full of the Spirit and wisdom in 6:5 and 6:8. It says he's full of the Holy Spirit and insight. And then in 6:10, he's full of knowledge and truth. And 6:15, his face shine like an angel. And he was a servant. He was a deacon. He was a faithful servant of the church whose life was Christ. For him to live was Christ. Well, Paul doesn't stop there and just showing us that the importance of his life is all about Christ and his glory. He goes on to say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live is Christ and to die is gain. You glorify and honor Jesus Christ in and at your death by knowing, trusting, and showing that death is gain. What? Does Paul really say that? To let Jim, come on! Death is gain? Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain. He goes on to say to depart and be with Christ is better by far. In 1:23. Jim and I in the back were praying beforehand. We're talking about just the past, how after we first became Christians, I was specifically how zealous and what a knucklehead I was. I just look back and I just burned all kinds of relationships where I could have been used of the Lord to sow seeds, you know, healthy seeds, and just my zeal without knowledge. And then I look back now, 20 years later, and think, wow, what an idiot I was in some senses, you know? Just a knucklehead. And then Jim said, well, just think 10 years from now, you look back and just think, but it's true. It's true. Can you imagine? All we can do is imagine what it's going to be like to be with Jesus and look in His Word and the glories of His wisdom and knowledge and of His love and His joy. His incredible kindnesses that are going to be poured out for an eternity. Wow. And we're going to be rejoicing in infinite bliss forever and looking back thinking, wow, we had no idea. We had no idea. For a Christian, death is a doorway to Jesus' glorified presence. For believers, every true believer in this room, death is a doorway to the presence of the glorified Jesus Christ. Again, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's promotion. 123, to depart and be with Christ is better by far. And it's fascinating, in the Greek, it's, if you look at the interlinear English Greek, you know, it says the exact wording under the Greek letters. And it says better by far in a fluid translation because it says very much better, more excellent by far, or something like that, you know. Just the highest superlative in the Greek. Better by far. No comparison. Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Oh. Isaiah 57:1-2. The righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands. That the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as their bodies lie in death. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says a good name is better than fine perfume and the day of death better than the day of birth. What? The day of death better than the day of birth. It's a doorway to Jesus. Dear saints, He has fulfilled the whole law. He has died to pay the debt completely. The law cannot condemn us. Jesus paid the price for the offense of the law. Death cannot hold us. Jesus rose from the grave. Hallelujah. Satan has nothing on us. Jesus satisfied the offended justice that sin had wrought and Satan had as a prosecuting attorney against us. Jesus is our advocate before the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You are no longer under wrath, but under grace. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. To depart and be with Christ is better by far. A biblical example, you say, Jimbo, okay, well, prove to me that that's true from a biblical example. Go back to Stephen. Go back to Stephen in Acts 7:59-60. Let's all go there, please. Acts 7:59-60. This will be helpful. Stephen had just preached a sermon to the Sanhedrin. He educated them on true biblical history and how God was trying to reveal to them their need for the Messiah. And he rebuked them. He said, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. And we see in verse 59, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. How's that for glorifying Christ at your death? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. Saints, this is who is teaching us that death is gain, is the man who approved and gave the authority to murder Stephen. He saw Stephen glorify Christ and lovingly pray for them. And God answered his prayer in saving Saul on the road to Damascus and Paul being mightily used of God. Coming back to Philippians. We're familiar with the thief on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus looked at him and said, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. That's why death is gain for us. It's a doorway to the presence of Jesus Christ. His deity, his divine nature is here with us. He's omnipresent. But he is truly the God-man. Sitting on the throne of glory. Jesus said to him who overcomes, I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 7. John 17. Jesus said, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. Jesus wants you to be with him. And we're not talking about suicide or something. We're talking about when the Lord has providentially decreed and brings about our deaths, that we would long to be with Jesus. Can I get an amen? You say, so what shall we do? What shall we do with this information? Because I'm sure it's not new. I believe the most helpful way to prepare to die well is now to live well. As Paul says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus may overflow on account of me. I believe the best way to be prepared to die well in a way that glorifies Christ is to live well in a way that glorifies Christ and loves his church. And that's what Paul said. However, I think another component of this is to meditate on these verses. To memorize and meditate on these verses. And if it's too hard to memorize, just meditate on them. Just read them and think them through and write things down about what the Lord reveals to you. Worship Jesus through your meditations. Because if you don't really intimately experience him through worship by faith now, is, you're not going to feel comfortable with wanting to go be with him. The more you know him and love him now, the more you're going to long to be with him. So meditate on those words. I want to close with Psalm 73, verse 21 through 28. This is Asaph. He was really struggling with jealousy of the world and struggling with envying the prosperity of the wicked. And he almost started speaking out, leading others astray, God's people. And then he remembered where their feet stand on slippery ground and their destinations, and that they're living for this life and he's living for the next as us. But this is what he said after he repented. He said, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." The closer you are to Jesus through his word, through your prayers, through your service, through your relationships, the more you're going to glorify him and the more you're going to be prepared to die well. Pray with me toward that end, would you? The righteous perish and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as their bodies lie in death. Lord, thank you for your promises. Jesus, you have conquered death, the law, sin. Lord, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Lord, thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we want to live for your glory, knowing that he who honors the Son honors the Father who sent him. Knowing that now is the Son of Man glorified and God is glorified in him. So help us, Lord, learn and love and trust you more and more and more. Father, affect us all and prepare us for life and for death, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.